Would you turn in your Bibles, please, this morning to our study, our Bible, our message from Deuteronomy chapter 1. And do I have my iPad, Pastor? Okay. I think many of you know the context for Deuteronomy 1. And maybe the relevance to our situation here in our country, and maybe also in our personal lives. So Pastor Steve is a new song leader, isn't he good? Yeah, now he's running to the AV room to get the iPad, and he's doing everything. When he gets back here, we're going to ask him to go get us all sandwiches. Roast beef with sauerkraut or corned beef. Yeah, so we want to put as much pressure on him as possible. We haven't seen him crack yet, but we're working on it. So when he shows up, we'll give him a hand and encourage him. Thanks, Pastor Gary, for the word. It's great. We pray, Father. Father, we thank you for your Son who has done everything for us. For this assembly, for assemblies like it through the country and around the world. We have been ordained of you by faith and in your spirit to know you. This is our honor and our uniqueness in this world, that we know you. Or as it says in Galatians, or rather are known of you. That's a great distinction. Thank you, Lord, for this fellowship in your name. Amen. Turn to Galatians 4 just to make a note of that verse because it relates to what we want to say today. Galatians chapter 4. Thank you. It says, give him a hand. Chapter 4, verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, when did you know not God? Many years ago. When did you know not God? Any other comment? When we're not saved, yeah. When you knew not God, there was a time when you knew not God. Ephesians 2. Verse 12, remember we were without one time without covenant and without promise. We were without God at one time in our life. Did you as a child maybe felt God? Yes. Or teenager? Yes. But did you know God? And the answer is no. We taught this on Romans 3. Verses 10 to 18 a few weeks ago on sin. There's none that understands, none that seeks him. No one knows God. But to them that he gives the grace, he draws us to himself. Jesus said, you cannot come to the Father. You cannot come to me unless the Father draw you. John 6:44. Matthew 11:27. No one knows the Son but the Father. Nobody knows the Father but the Son, and to him whom the Father will reveal him. So this is the grace of God, that you know God. You might say, I don't know that I know God. Well, I want to encourage you today. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Yeah, Halloween last night in one neighborhood, my wife and I went, in one little neighborhood where my son lives, and we were, it was a very nice group of people in the cul-de-sac. They had some fire and hot chocolate, and we're talking, and people dressed in different costumes, and there was one costume with a deer skull, antlers and things hanging, and it was like I can imagine a paganistic headdress. When I knew not God, I did service unto those that were not God. How does it read? Verse, that are no gods, which by nature are no gods. There was a lot of that in my life. I was doing service to those lies, those false concepts, those ideas of paganism or unbelief or atheism or modernism, liberalism, relativism, many names for the world of unbelief in Christ. I had a long talk with a gentleman yesterday, last night, as he described his philosophy about life. And it was very strange for me to listen to it. And then he was respectful enough to listen to me. And we had a few words. And I went home kind of discouraged by how easily it is that people believe wrong things. You know, life is like an octopus. We are all tentacles. Our experiences feed back to the head of the octopus and many other things that he said. And with patience listening and wanting to make some key points, you know, Christ, do you believe in Christ? And who is Christ? And was he raised from the dead or not? Was he raised from the dead or not? I always went back to that. Was he raised from the dead or not? If he was, then he is the Christ. Everything he says isn't more important than what you or I am saying. What does he say? Who is Christ? What does he say? You know, and then more of the talking and everything. Then is Christ raised from the dead or not? Is he the Christ or not? You know, and so on. So there was a time in your life when you did service unto that which was not God. But we had gods, various expressions of it. Verse 9. But now, after you have known God, he's speaking to the Galatians. And in speaking to the Galatians, he's also speaking to us. But now, after you have known God, but then he corrects himself a little bit. He goes, or rather, are known of God. Like, you know God, and then he goes, well, I'm not really sure if you do know God, but I am confident God knows you. You are known of God. You are his child. There are believers that are born again, but they don't know God. Do they walk with him? Do they embrace what he says? Do they worship him? Do they believe in him? It says earlier in the chapter that the Spirit of God has come into your hearts, verse 6. Because you are the sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, as you know it says. So this is the cry of the Spirit in us. We have a worship from the Spirit in our hearts. Do you remember when that happened in your life? I was on a college campus when it happened to me, and I just started to hunger for God, and I cried out to God in my heart, and I believed it, and I wanted it, And I got focused on it. You know, sometimes people talk about many Christs, many Jesuses, many gods, many ideas. But there's a good argument against that, and it is simple. I've shared it with you, I think, before. How many mothers do you have? I have one mother. No, you have many mothers. There's many mothers. Look at them all. They're all there are many mothers in the world. No, I have one mother. Do you have one mother? Come on. Loosen up. Kind of get a broader mind on the whole thing. Do you have many mothers? Aren't there many mothers? I mean, you think yours is the only mother? You have one mother? Yeah. I have one mother. Why do we say that? Why do we say we have only one mother? Because we do. We have one. Well, if you have many, it's like much better if you have many. No, it isn't. It's better that I have one. I have one mother. That's the one that brought me into the world. That's the one I know where who she is. That's my mother. And you can't replace her with many. And if you think having many is better, then you're wrong. Because I love her. And there's no one like her. God is like this. He is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to be cheated. He doesn't want us to be lied to. And he doesn't want us to have a false confession. I want to show that to you as well. Look at 1 Timothy of chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy 6. Oh, it's great to be in the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul is writing to Timothy, knowing that Timothy could be confused. Timothy is a pastor. He could be ashamed of Paul's chain. Timothy could get a little bit double-minded. Timothy could, he's under pressure. And by the way, there are people that are under pressure. And to you, you don't feel any pressure, but some others do. There might be people that are facing depression. To you, I'm not depressed at all, but I have to realize that some people are. To you, it may be very clear what you believe, but to some others, it may be that they are troubled. It might be that they are confused. And it might be that they waffle or they find themselves struggling. I wanted to share that from Deuteronomy. By the way, when we started our message, did I ask you to turn to Deuteronomy? Okay, good. That's where we're going. Look at 1 Timothy 6, please. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. So some things we should run away from. Flee. Flee these things. Follow after righteousness. Some things we run away from and some things we follow. And then verse 12, fight. Good fight of faith. So we flee, run away, we follow, and as we follow, we fight. These are the three in English, the three F words here in verse 11 and 12. So we have flee, follow, and fight a good fight. Now, then he talks about profession and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Having a good profession. Verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. So here we have Timothy not caving, not caving, not being confused, Timothy, being clear in your heart, you ran away, you follow, and you fight. And then he brings in Jesus before Pontius Pilate, and he says, Jesus, before Pontius Pilate, had a good confession. And he had a good confession. Even though it was very difficult, but he knew the Father. He knew God. He knew the Father. He knew him. He had him in his heart, the doctrine in his mind, his understanding, and his confession. So verse 14, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so just suggesting the concept here. Now go to Deuteronomy, please. And we will draw the map of Europe here, some kind of map of it. Not a good one, but anyway, let's see. Maybe I'm leaving out. Okay. Like huge continents are left out or something. Okay. Here we have Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Red Sea. We have Egypt here, this part. This is number one. They were slaves in Egypt. Number two, they were in the wilderness. And then number three, they go into the promised land. This is 430 years in Egypt as slaves, 40 years in the wilderness in unbelief, and then it took them 7 years when they went into the promised land to conquer the kings. How many kings? These are kingdoms. These are small, like territories of areas of kings. There were 31 kings that they defeated in 7 years' time. What is the meaning of this diagram? But it is a message to us. It's a message to us about our life. It's a message about our journey. That when, number one, Egypt, I was without God, I was a slave to sin, Pharaoh and the world was in control of my life. They would say, stand over there, back off, you have no right to say that, that's ridiculous, who is God? You're not worshiping God, you're not worshiping God. This is what Pharaoh and Egypt is saying and what it represents. We were living in that world. You're not doing that. You know, we don't believe in that. You're not believing in that either. This is not right. This is wrong, and so on. And we were suffering in our sin and in bondage to our sin. And Jesus came and he showed us. Jesus could say, I'm not in bondage to Pharaoh or Egypt. I'm not in bondage to death or the elements, the storm or the sea. I am God and I am a man. And I want to show you that I made you for more. I want you more. I want you to have more. I want you to be free of sin. I want you to know me. I want God to be your God and have no other God before you. Wow. Really? You know, like, really? Really? Then do this. And he did. The Red Sea opened. We got on the other side and we started to dance. What's a Jewish word for at the Passover when they dance around the table? You got to help me. What was that phrase? You know, they repeat it over and over. No? Forget it. No, you don't know it? The Jews would do this. They would say this word, and they, you know how some of them, the Orthodox, they have the fur hats and long coats and everything, you know? And the ladies would dress up for the Passover. And it would be like not, something like not again, or something, it will not happen again, or I forget the phrase, it's in Hebrew. And so anyway, in the Passover, there's a time in the dinner when they would skid up from their chairs and they would dance around the table like this, and they would say like to Egypt, it's like, not again, not again. We are dressed. We were slaves without a fur hat. Now I have my fur hat. The ladies would say, we had nothing, now I've got this beautiful dress on. Wow. So this happened to us. And we end up across the Red Sea. And for 3 days, Miriam and the people are celebrating. And then the reality of the water problem, the reality of the food problem sets in, and they start complaining. And they start to believe lies. They start to believe things that are not true. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 1. And Moses is saying in chapter 1, verse 12, how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? He is facing the huge challenge of leading these people when they have these three things, cumbrance, burden, and strife. And he's saying, basically, I can't do it. I can't do it. How it happens that after being saved, how it can happen after being saved, I just can't reconcile the reality of God with my present life. How the reality of God in my present life, it doesn't seem. Where is my blessing? Where is my freedom? Where is the power? Where is the joy? So watch this, chapter 1, verse 26. He says, notwithstanding, you would not go up into the promised land to check it out. This is when the spies come back. But rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents. Now that phrase, many years ago, I read that and I've preached on it a few times, but I think of it about our time here with the COVID thing happening. How what people are saying in their houses, what they're talking about in their own hearts, what they're believing in their lives, you know, how this happens. What is a good confession before Pontius Pilate? Pilate could say, look at you. Don't you know that I have power to crucify you or not? Look at you. Your own people want you killed. You know, well, look at you, what do you have? Like, it seemed like a disconnect between God and the living God and my present circumstances. It looks like the living God, and then what we're talking about in our tents is like totally different from what God is saying to us and what he believes about us and what he is doing in our midst, and how easy it is for people, because we are simply people that have feelings and fears and different things that are going on in life, So look at chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, You murmured in your tents and you said, because the Lord hated us, he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. What? Yeah, he brought us out of the land of Egypt because he hated us. Whoa, I thought it was the other way around. Because he loved you. No, it's because he hated us. Wow. So, our message this morning has to do with this word, confession. Confession, what I am believing in my heart. What is he saying? What is God doing? What is his will for us? What does he want to say to us? How does he lead us? Not simply in good times, but in those times, look at the sequence here. We go from 1 to 2, and it's at in this realm of 2, this wilderness, where he says this, Deuteronomy 8, 3, verse 2 and 3. I brought you through the wilderness to humble you. I brought you in the wilderness to humble you and to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What are you saying in your tent? I'm quiet right now. It's a hard time. Rejoicing. I'm believing, quietly embracing. I am confessing. Confessing, what do you mean? I am confessing like Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Even before Pilate, yes. Even before Pilate. Why, what do you have in your heart? I have something in my heart. I have what the Spirit is saying to me in my heart. He's leading me in my heart. I have a song in my heart. I have a message in my heart. And Pilate, Jesus didn't say this, but we could imagine something like this. And Pilate, you don't know this, but my Father has put me here. And 3 days from now, things are going to be very different because my Father is doing this. And I'm going to save the world. And you don't know this. Isn't that amazing? You don't know this, but this is actually awesome. This is actually God is with me. And you don't, it doesn't look good, but this is the way I've learned how to live. That I'm learning to live not by bread alone. Not by what is said on the news, not by what is said by the neighborhood, what is not said by the guy with a deer skull in it, you know, and the octopus story, and not to live by the hearts of men. And Moses is saying this way back in Deuteronomy. It's beautiful. Let's go to a couple more. It says in verse, they murmured in their tents, verse 27, because the Lord hated us, he brought us up out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying the people is greater and taller than we. Cities are great and walled up to heaven. Verse 32. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. Only Caleb, verse 36, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he has wholly followed the Lord. This wholly followed the Lord is the key for us right now. This is the key for our lives, and always will be, to in our heart wholly follow him and embrace what he says. Because this is a time of mission. This is a time of faith. This is a time of making disciples. This is a time of teaching people to live not by sight, but by faith. This is a time of love. It's a time when we're meeting people that are needing words of encouragement. It's a time of a song. It's a time of investment. It's a time for children. It's a time for teenagers. It's a time to care about people that are around about us because we have a ministry of God that's in our hearts. It's a time of faith. Now, notice this. There were two men from number two that made it, and they went up this way with the nation 40 years later, and they crossed. And those names were Joshua and Caleb. And what did they do? They said, we can go into the land. God is with us. And in 7 years' time, they first swung south, and they fought in battles up through to the north and came back around. And they said, and Caleb, after the 7 years of battles, he said, I want my inheritance. I want that mountain. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. He left Egypt. Caleb, by the way, he was 40 years old when he left Egypt. He was here 40, so now he's 80. And by the time he's finished here, he's 87 years old. And he says, then I want that mountain. What's the spirit? It says he had a different spirit in Numbers 14. Caleb had another spirit, and so do you. You walk in that spirit. You think with that spirit. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, you better learn to flee some things. Just run away from them. You don't need them. Yeah, I don't need that stuff. I don't need it. It's not helping me. I flee that. I follow this, and then I fight a good fight. And then you find yourself saying, wow, I am very, very much encouraged by who the church is, what the church is saying, what God wants to do in the world, and in my heart, deep in my heart, and in my tent. Let's finish with that thought. In my tent, like maybe in the bathroom, I have a little poster, you know, with a Bible verse, you know. In my tent, I have some music that's going to be encouraging, my little library, or in my tent, what am I listening to? This is in my tent, is where you talk deep from your heart. When you're laying in bed with your wife or your husband and you're having words of faith, and like what's in your heart, it's in your tent, is what we are going to say, is what we are really believing. And so, in our tents, have a tent where you glorify God on purpose. Have a tent where you just say, the church is important to me. What God is doing with us, we are the salt of the earth. Our country needs people that are in their tent saying the right thing. When you're in your tent saying the right thing, then when you come out, you have a message, hi to the neighbor. Hi, how you doing? Hope everything's good. And why do you have a word on the outside? Because you are living in one on the inside. That's how we're living. So that's it, I think, for today. Thank you so much, Lord. That's a good word, isn't it? Yes, it is. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for the assembly here. Wow. We We've had an amazing year. Amazing year. We kicked it off with Donut Sunday. I think that was in March. What was Jen? When was it? March what? It'll go down in infamy. We had Donut Sunday. I'm not praying right now. I'm just talking to you. So we had Donut Sunday. Do you remember that? And we cut them in half, I think. And that was what, you know, and then after that, you know, the whole world went different. So we had the donuts out there. Just think about it. It was a beautiful event. Well, donuts, large amounts of them. We're eating. We had no idea. The city was on fire. What's his narrow? He's playing the violin while Rome is burning, you know. Wow. So so hasn't it been a great year? Yeah, it's beautiful. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's so good. Okay, now let's pray. Lord, thank you for those thoughts this morning and having a good confession, being for Pontius Pilate. It seems to me to be such a miracle of grace, to be so clear and humble and wise and true. And lead us, Lord, in this world. And may we would flee some things and follow other things passionately, and then fight a good fight of faith. And anyone listening, you want Jesus in your heart, say to Jesus, I believe in you. Save me. The one that died on the cross and was raised from the dead, I believe in you in all my heart. I want you in my life. Say that prayer of faith and you are saved. You are forgiven. The Spirit will teach you. Walk in humility. You will know God. Great gift to us. Thank you, God. Bless our day. In Jesus' name, amen.